about to do an interview on tweeting from the late 19th century to early 20th century. Send. I started tweeting about a year ago, but 100 years ago, people were already doing something very similar to this in small-town newspapers. The public would submit sentence-long blurbs about their lives in so-called community columns. In the Champaign-Urbana area, the Courier and the News Gazette had sections like these. To talk about this early form of tweeting is Mary Stewart, a newspaper librarian at the University of Illinois. Mary, what was the appeal for these sort of community updates?
These community columns were a primary means of communication and of learning about other people in the community. In the absence of radio and automobiles and even telephones, this was the primary source of information about other people in your community that you didn't have daily contact with. There were columns in the Courier for Urbana, for Champaign, for Rantoul, Penfield, Ivesdale, Philo, all of these outlying communities, there would be little short columns reporting on the activities of a few individuals from those towns.
Were there any notable members of the community that, you know, you came across?
Yeah, I did run across names of that are very familiar in that buildings, local buildings are now named after them, or schools were named after them. I think if you're interested in, say, medical history, you could find out how quarantines were used to control disease, for example, because very often when there's a communicable disease, the community columns provided information about whose houses were quarantined.
How did these early tweets compare to what we see in Twitter today?
Well, I think there are some similarities in that they are both forms of social communication. But at the same time, I think they are different in very important, significant ways. The community columns were very straightforward, fact-based reports, usually just one sentence long, of individuals' movements. Dr. Smith went to Danville to transact business on Friday, or the daughter of Fanny Smith is home with scarlet fever this week. Whereas Twitter tend to be based more on people's feelings and opinions and beliefs and values and views on things, and not so much just fact-based reporting. The sensationalistic reporting in some ways is much closer to the social media of today, where a lot of information is revealed, perhaps too much information is revealed. Just, for example, looking at obituaries, the cause of death was often given very explicitly 100 years ago and very graphically. Whereas today, because of privacy rules, very little information is given in an obituary about the cause of death.
Yeah, I can't imagine that, like, getting an update about so-and-so is moving across town or so-and-so is sick or so-and-so bought this piece of property would say very much about a community. But what do these updates say about journalism from that period?
Well, I think it would be very hard-pressed to draw any conclusions about journalism based on these community columns because in many ways they are the most prosaic and bland feature in our local papers 100 years ago. It's just that there was a place for both types of information. The community columns, as I mentioned, were extremely fact-based and very neutral and very short in form, whereas the actual stories that were reported are stories. And the detail was serving some kind of need among the audience.